Blog Talk Radio.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be hard. Like early 90s heavy metal hard.
I'm yelling and screaming and I'm loud. Roar.
Geico makes it easy. You can review and update your policy or report a claim on Geico.com or the Geico mobile app. Because shouldn't we all have a little less stress in our lives?
I'm not even upset about anything!
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, this is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. We'd like to welcome you back. Today is Monday, October the 10th, 2016. Amen and amen. We pray that all is well with you and your family. We pray that you have sustained. We pray, oh God, we pray that you've been touched today, you've been encouraged, that you have been encouraged and touched someone else's life with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to start tonight. We have a special guest tonight. But as always, we're going to start with scripture and prayer. Then we're going to get right into our conversation. We have a couple of announcements and some upcoming events here in the local Baltimore, Maryland area. Amen. So first, let's begin with scripture. I'll be reading from 1 Peter, the number 1, starting at verse number 13. The Word of God says, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hopes fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy." Father, today we say thank you. We say thank you, Lord God. We say thank you, Lord Jesus, God. We say thank you, God. We come to you with hearts of gratitude. We just want to say thank you, God. Father, we thank you, God, for the salvation that you provided us, Lord God, through the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord God. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that maintains, keeps us, directs us, and guides us, O God. Father, continue, O God, to over the men, O God, that listen to this broadcast. We got those who are steadfast listeners, God, those who are committed, God. I ask today that you would bless them and keep them, God. Strengthen them, O God. Father, anything they're going through in their homes, O God, with their children, with their wives, Lord God, we ask, O God, today, God, that you, O God, would set a hedge of protection around them, Lord God. Father, give them a solution, God. Give them wisdom and discernment, God, that they may be able to find an answer for what their needs are in their life today, Lord God. Father, today we ask, oh God, also for the unbeliever, Lord God. We continue to pray for their souls, God. We continue to pray that the scales be dropped from their eyes, God, that their hearts and minds will be open to hear a word, oh God, from someone, God, from one of your ambassadors, and I speak life today, oh God. Father, we know it, God, that sometimes it takes a man to reach a man, oh God. So today we encourage the brothers, God, to take time out every day to see if there's someone, oh God, in need. Take time out from our busy schedules to look around, oh God. Look to the horizon. Look around and see who's in need of hearing a word from you today, God. Father, continue, oh God, to strengthen us and keep us, God. Continue to watch over me and my family, oh God, over my guests, God, over their families and their wives and children, oh God, that they might be a living example, oh God, for the true power that you are, oh God, in the lives of people. Strengthen us and keep us. And this is our prayer tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, tonight I have a couple of announcements, some upcoming events here in the Baltimore area. Let me first start with this weekend coming, October 14th, 15th, and 16th, Men's Empowerment at the Church of the Redeemer of the Lord, 4321 Old York Road in Baltimore, Maryland. Senior pastor there is Bishop Jerome Stokes. And on Monday night, starting on Friday night, the 14th, there'll be a men's summit at 7 p.m., and the speaker will be Jerome Stokes. On Saturday, the 15th, at 10 a.m., there's going to be a rap session at Lake Montebello for our young men, I believe it's from ages 12 and up, and that's going to be a day we're going to spend out. We're praying the sun, looks like the weather forecast is going to be a sunny day, live on the cool side, so you can wear your hoodie. But we encourage you to come out and bring your sons, your nephews, your little brothers, and come out for that time of fellowship, so that we can sow some wisdom into this next generation, because they are the future. And there, and a lot of these, a lot of these young men are coming at full speed into manhood, but we want to make sure they have the correct tools and the correct structure and foundation. So when they reach manhood, there's a lot of things they won't have to deal with, and some of us have been delivered from. And that's our biggest goal when we're mentoring young men, to keep them from going down the path that we went. It's all of us were not born in the church, raised in the church, or knew anything about God until later on. But amen. And then on Sunday, the 16th, at 9:45 p.m. is Men Day service. The speaker there is going to be Dr. Lamar Turner. And also there's going to be a men's mass choir. Elder Roundell Hall, he's the men's ministry president there at the Church of Redeemer of the Lord, and he's put together a mass choir. He's called out some brothers, to come. If you haven't been in rehearsal yet, you missed out. But I noticed that it's going to be a mass choir. And you got some brothers coming, and we're gonna worship the Lord in bass, not so much tenor, but we're gonna have some bass in the house. Amen. So we encourage you for that. Again, that's this coming weekend, October 14th. And if you have any questions, to reach out, you can call the church or call Elder Roundell Hall at 410-433-0423. Also, you can go to Issues Christian Men's Talk. Our Facebook page, the link is there, the flyer is there. Any information you need for that, you can get to us. And contact us there. Amen. Also, now at the end of the month, October 28th to 23rd, Carter Memorial Church of Baltimore, we have a 2016 Men's Conference, Men Reflecting the Image of God. Host pastor is Carl A. Pierce Sr., and that's on October 28th and 27th at the Carter Memorial Church of Baltimore. You also can go to the Facebook page there and get a link for that, and the information is there on the Facebook page. Amen. We have another upcoming event, Alexander Butler Productions. This is Work Love Works Ministry. They're having a live stage play. It's going to be held at Goucher College. The name of the play is Church Hurts, and Those People Are Crazy, I Quit. And that's going to be held on November the 4th, 2016 at 7:30 p.m., The ticket price for this live play is going to be $22 in advance or $27 at the door. You can call 443-386-7360. Get some information for that. And again, I invite you to tune in next week because Pastor Alexander Butler is going to be going. He's going to tell us a little bit more about the play. You can ask him some questions, and we might do some giveaways or some tickets. So we encourage you to call in on that day. We'll let you know as soon as that is. Confirmed that he's going to come on with us and talk a little bit about the play and invite you out. You can also get more information by going to www.love3works.org, and that's spelled LOV3WORKS.org. Get tickets for that. Church Hurts, and Those People Are Crazy, I Quit. Amen. And we have one more announcement here coming up. This is on Wednesday, the 9th of November, 2016. This is the 4th Annual Interfaith Domestic Violence Conference. It's going to be held at the Judicial Institute of Maryland, 2001 Comments Park Drive in Annapolis, Maryland. And that's going to be talking about Interfaith Domestic Violence Coalition is sponsoring this conference and training time. It's specifically directed towards the religious community, the pastors, elders, and deacons. And it's a training session. I've been to a couple, I'm going myself, and it's really a training session to be able to prepare folks on how we as people of faith are dealing or truly going to deal with domestic violence. You know, it's one of the things we was in one previous discussion series that we talked a little bit about, you know, it's more than prayer. And the thing that we challenged all leaders was, if someone came to you in a service, a Bible study, a small group, and it was a domestic violence issue, what's the plan? Are you ready to send them back home where they might get beaten again or even killed, or send them back home to a dangerous situation? And that's one of the things that that's one of the first things we talk about when we talk about interfaith, the church, religious organizations, and everything. The pastors I know that I'm in fellowship with, is one of the conversations we have about domestic violence is, what's your plan? What is your church plans? And do all your elders know it? Because someone may be going through this, and they might not come straight to you. So is there a contingency? Is there in place process and procedure for dealing with domestic violence issues? or even if something's kicked off in the middle of your service. Okay? So, you know, that's just me. If you don't have that plan, this is the opportunity to have your leaders come and get the training they need, the insights, and help you to set in position. Because we all have plans for everything else in the body of Christ. If the building floods, if it snows, how we cancel, we call everybody, we have phone trees, and we send it out on Facebook. We have all those in place. If the building catches on fire, there's a plan to evacuate. So in the same line of thinking, if this crisis comes to your ministry, do you have a plan to deal with domestic violence? Amen? Amen. Again, that's on November the 9th, 2016. You can get more information. Again, you can go to our Facebook page, or you can get more information by calling the Maryland Network Against Domestic Violence. And you can call them at 301-429-3601 and get more information about the upcoming event. And like I say, Issues Christian Men's Talk, it'll be posted there. Or even if you don't see it, you go there and send me a message, inbox me, and I'll get the information to you. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. All right, well, tonight, we have a guest here tonight. We're going to share a little bit with us. Brother Reginald Grant, and he is part of Serve LLC here locally. Oh, wait a minute, one more thing. I'm coming to you, brother. I'm coming to you, but hold on 1 minute. Amen. Brother Grant, I'm sorry. Brother Reginald Grant, how are you, sir? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me? Good evening.
Yes, sir. Good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for having me.
Amen. Thank you, sir, for taking time out of your schedule and joining us tonight. I do appreciate it coming on, but we're going to talk a little bit about your organization and I think we were Facebook friends and connected, and he had a couple events. I never could make it. The schedules wouldn't combine, but then I seen the book and got the book. So, and I thank
you
for taking time and coming on the show. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I have to read this stuff before I can bring people on.
Awesome. I would love to hear a testimony from you before we end the show.
Oh, okay. Okay. Amen. 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 All right. Well, tonight, again, I'm sorry, I said Grant. How do you pronounce your last name?
It's Gant.
Gant.
Grant with
Gant.
No R.
Okay.
Yep, Reginald Gant. And
okay,
you can call
Gant.
Me Reggie.
All right. All right, there we go. We're going to go with Reggie. All right. There you go, Reggie. Thank you. Thank you very much. Amen. But first, to share with the audience, give us your bio a little bit, just the short version of your bio, who you are.
Absolutely. So, Reginald Gant, basically, I'm born and raised here in Baltimore, Maryland. I'm 35 years old, graduate of Poly High School, went on to graduate from UB. Currently, I'm a husband, a father to three. We have a beautiful blended family. And I'm just a servant leader, you know, at my core, you know, God has given me some gifts, some talents, and I just really love to use those things to better the body of Christ, you know. Right now, I'm an entrepreneur. My wife and I are business owners. We're authors. We're mentors. We're motivational speakers. You know, and we just love to, you know, give God the glory through the many different ways that we serve. So that's the short, quick, and dirty version of who I am at my core, a servant leader.
Amen, sir. Amen. Amen. Well, let's talk a little bit about the book. Let me ask you this first. Let's start with your organization, sir. Let's talk about that first. What exactly?
Okay.
Who is Serve? Who, what, why, and where?
All right. So Serve was actually given to me in a dream back in 2009, and I vividly remember it because I woke up and I had to write the name down. So at the time, I didn't know what Serve was. So I just wrote it down because that's what the Lord told me. But over the years, God has already told me that I would do a lot of work with men, young men, you know, men of my age, older men as well. So basically what the organization stands for, SERVE is an acronym. It means seek excellence, respect, and value every day, right? So the whole premise behind SERVE is that it's an empowerment-based organization, and it's aimed to raise up, connect, and inspire men. Now, Deacon Farr, you and I are men, you know, we know what it's like to be a man, you know, but what I've noticed in my lifetime is that men don't talk a lot, right? We know that. So the whole vision and premise behind my organization originally was just to bring men together, kind of like your show, just to have real talk. Right. You know, let's bounce some ideas off of each other. You know, hey, I'm struggling with something. Let me talk to my brothers, you know, in a nice, safe environment, put these things off of my chest. You know, maybe it's somebody out there that's been through it, somebody that can mentor me or coach me or help me, you know, out of my situation, you know, pour into me, things of that nature. So the whole premise of Serve was actually just to be a sounding board, you know, of men. God has connected me to a lot of great men in my lifetime, in business, in school, just in community. So my vision is just to bring all my guys together. And, you know, we learn of the different ways that we serve, and we serve together. We serve one another, and we serve the next generation. So that's the whole premise behind the organization.
Amen, amen. So let's talk about, well, let me ask you this. What is it so important to serve? What is the big deal about serving?
So serving, right, is the greatest thing that we can do, right? One of my, I think it's Mark chapter 10, you know, basically Jesus Christ, right, he modeled servanthood at its finest. When you wash somebody's feet, you know, when you serve somebody, you know, it's an humbling experience, right? It's very humbling to serve somebody else. Because what you're doing is putting the needs of others before yourself. So at the very core, serve means, you know, we're putting the needs of others before ourselves. And that's the highest form to me of worship, you know, is when you give service to someone else and you value someone else in that particular moment over yourself. So to me, that's a big deal. And in our society today, what's going on is, obviously, as you can see, when you turn the news on, people are disrespecting one another. There is no respect or admiration of individuals any longer. But if we actually just, you know, stopped and took a break and actually just decided to start to serve one another, to reverence and to care for and encourage and love one another, how different would our society be? So, you know, that's the whole premise behind my organization, behind the books that I write. It's empowerment. It's encouragement. You know, it's designed to lift each other up. Because right now we live in a world where we're designed to tear each other down, and it's not productive. It's not productive, and it's not helpful.
Amen, amen, amen. You know, I agree with what you're saying, and that's one of the things I hear you when you shared it in your opening about, you know, that passion. Because it's one of the things, that same reason we started Issues Christian Men's Talk and we have the Coalition of Ministries to Men that we talk about, is as men, we need to be able to come together. You know,
absolutely.
We have that scripture, you know, that scripture we have in Proverbs 17, where it talks about iron is sharpened iron. I know sometimes it's kind of cliche, but when we look at that scripture, we're made to encourage each other. We're made to build each other up. We need to stand beside each other and sharpen us, because we, you know, when you iron sharpening iron, means we're getting a tool, a weapon ready for use. And that's what we have to see it as. We're getting each other ready so God can use us. And I think what's the word I want to use? That fellowship, that koinonia of men coming together, sharing like experiences in life, being able to mentor, being able to disciple, and being able to speak into a brother, even in his worst time, that we can encourage him that, you know, you're not alone. What you're going through is you're not the only one who's been through it, and you know, and God has an answer for it. And I think that's what we do. We sometimes, as men, we have a lot of roadblocks and facades up before we can actually get to know each other, because we all have
absolutely
a persona, but we have to. Mm-hmm. You know, it sometimes takes a while to get through that persona. But
absolutely,
I think that in the body of Christ, especially in the body of Christ, you know, I what you said too, I know God has put me in a place where I'm around a lot of men that I really draw to and be able to speak to. But then, you know, it's a process. And I truly believe that the more mature a man is in God, the easier it is to be able to approach him. You know, I really believe that. I've learned that from my own experience. Because you can tell someone who's insecure, I'll just leave it
definitely
right there, because they're not open, they're not transparent about who they are, and they put up, you know, certain kind of fronts. But that's a whole other conversation. But amen.
You said the key to transparency.
Yes, sir.
Transparency. When a man can be transparent about who he is, who he was, what he's done, and just get that out into the open without shame and embarrassment, I'm telling you, man will elevate himself to a whole different plateau.
Amen. Well, you listen to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Farr. We're here with Brother Reggie, and we're talking about Serve. And he also has written a book, Serve Yourself to Greatness, a book of affirmation. We're going to touch on that a little bit later on in this hour. But if you're listening online, you can call in at 646-668-2636. And you hit one of your keypad. We can bring you in if you have a question or comment you want to share. We're going to let you know where you can get the book at later on in the program, so I ask you to continue to listen. And you also can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, and we archive this show, will be archived and recorded there. You can share it with someone who might have missed it tonight, or you can listen to it again for yourself and just share it. And again, you can reach us on Facebook by going Issues Christian Men's Talk. Amen. Well, let me ask you this. I'm going to move a little bit to the book, but you have something I want to ask you about. You know, self-esteem and self-doubt is something that I believe a lot of men struggle with at all ages. You know, I want to focus on talking tonight about how can we help young brothers who are dealing with self-esteem. Because I believe this generation has a struggle with identity. First of all, with masculinity, because of the way the culture is, and then that self-doubt on who they are. Can you share a little bit about that?
Absolutely. I'll tell you, firsthand, that's something that I struggled with for a long time in my life. I was just actually sharing that with my daughter over this past weekend because she had a speaking engagement. My daughter's in high school, and she actually had to speak to some middle school-age girls, you know, and I was telling her, you know, the confidence that I have now, you know, now that I'm a grown man, I'm 35 years old, and I know whose I am, you know. Growing up, I was insecure because it didn't quite take hold that I was a child of God, you know. So it's kind of hard to find out who you are unless you know whose you are first. So for these young guys out here, you know, I do a lot of mentoring work. I've mentored in about 5 to 8 different organizations over my lifetime. As older men, right, we have to pull these guys in. We have to sit down. We have to have real candid conversations with these guys. We have to hear them out. But more importantly, Deacon Farr, I believe it's our duty, it's our obligation to be real with them about the things that we've done in our past, in our lives, and the obstacles that we've had to overcome as men so that they can see, you know, hey, yeah, you know, I'm successful now, but guess what? I started where you started. I'm from the same neighborhood that you're from. You know, I didn't always live in a nice neighborhood. I didn't always drive a nice car. I didn't always make a significant amount of income. I started where you were. I started off with low self-esteem. So I feel that, you know, it's a major push for men to actually turn around and reach this new generation right here, these young guys. These guys have a sense of entitlement these days. They're angry, they're frustrated, they're upset. You know, I kind of understand. You know, because sometimes dad wasn't around, dad dropped the ball, mom can't do it all. You know, I get it. But there's not enough men who stand up to actually say, hey, you know, some of the things that you guys are doing are unacceptable. We don't have enough men speaking up, period. We don't have enough male presence. So it's up to people like you and I, you know, people in the church, men in the church, men in the community to take a stand and say, look, let's sit down, let's hear you out, let's hear your concerns, you know, but let's also open up and share, you know, because I can stop you, like you said earlier in this conversation. You don't have to go down a certain path if I've already been down that path, and I tell you about that path right now and how I can help you not go down that path. So more people need to be accountable. More men need to stand up is what I believe.
Amen, sir. Amen. And I think that's true. And now that's the other thing I want to flip to now. We have men of a certain age. You're 35, I'm 50, 56. And we have men in our generation who are still struggling with their self-esteem, their doubt. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, we all have backgrounds. You know, we all have things in our life. It could be anything from, you know, having children out of wedlock to we could have been locked up, addictions, alcohol, whatever. We wasn't living a life. And the reason we wasn't living a godly life, let me put it that way. And we were, some of us, even in the church, wasn't doing things like we're supposed to have been doing. And now we walk around sometimes with the guilt, and that thing keeps us from, that condemnation keeps us from opening up and being and transparent. And I think that is also a struggle, too. Older guys have a little bit more experience. So tell me about, give me some insight on that, because, you know, if I had all this baggage, what are some of the ways that I can look for affirmation or some of the things I can do to try and overcome this thing?
Absolutely. So that's a great question. So that used to be me, right? You just spoke of having a child out of wedlock. You know, I did actually have a child out of wedlock. My daughter, you know, who I just mentioned, you know, I had her when I was 19, you know. I remember, you know, how I felt not being married, having a child, you know. I carried that around for a while. I'm a single parent. I came from a single parent household. You know, my parents were married when I was born, then they divorced a little while later. So I grew up, you know, with mom. You know, I remember some weekends, you know, standing by the front door waiting for dad. Dad didn't show up. I remember carrying that anger around for 20 plus years, right? But then what we have to do is we have to come to a place where, you know, we have to, as men, stop making excuses, right, for our past, right? The Bible says, you know, in Christ there is no condemnation, right? Christ has already forgiven us for the mistakes that we've made. He's already forgiven us. He's already pinned our sins to the cross. He's already died for us. He's already told us we're more than conquerors. So we're men. What we have to do is stop making the excuses, right? I used to carry around a lot of anger until I forgave myself for those mistakes that I made, you know, until I forgave others for what appeared to be mistakes that they made towards me, right? And I let that baggage go. But that's a hard place to come to. That's a tough decision. You have to want it, right? I got tired. I was in my mid-20s when I finally let all of my baggage go, probably about 26, 27 years old, you know, so almost a decade ago. I got tired of hurting, right? I'll be honest. I got tired of crying myself to sleep at night, things that I've done from mistakes, from pain, from people hurting me, from people wronging me. I got tired. So I remember one day I just prayed to the Lord and said, God, like seriously, like, I can't continue to live my life like this. What must I do? And, you know, he said, give it to me. You know, there's a scripture that says, you know, his yoke is easy. His yoke is light. Give it to God. Forgive yourself. Forgive other people. And forgiveness is the key to everything. As soon as you can start to forgive, you can start to unlock some of God's blessings. And one of the first blessings that he'll send you once you forgive is peace. He gives you a peace, a calmness over your life. So now that you let go of that anger, that hatred, that hurt, that pain, now he gives you peace. Now you can start to make those excuses and you can actually start to figure out, hey, what can I do to start to make myself happy again? What are those things that I get enjoyment from? What's going to give me fulfillment? You know, what do I like to do? And start to do more of those things. Well, yes, forgiveness is what I think, where a lot of men struggle, Deacon Farr. What do you think?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Because you're right. It's the forgiveness. It's forgiving yourself first, you know, and letting yourself move past it, and then forgiving others of the things that they may or may not have done to you. You know, you talked about your father, and we have a lot of young men. This is where they're trying to act out their masculinity because they didn't have nothing to glean from, and the thing they're gleaning from, either from media or the more negative influences in their lives, trying to define it because they didn't have it in the home, and that's one. And then we do things. And one of them is womanizing and drugs and other things, the violence, trying to define our manhood in the only way we know how. And then we have guilt about those things that we've been through, you know, because, again, we didn't know any better. But once we come into the knowledge, we have to get into a place to understand that, you know, we can move forward from there. We can forgive ourselves We can seek the forgiveness of others, but not let them hinder us from moving forward, because some folk just won't. Depending on what you've done and how dirty your dirt is, folk ain't going to forgive you, but that shouldn't stop you from being moving forward. You hand it over to God and let God work on them, you know, but you continue to press and move forward in that thing. Amen. So I understand what you're saying, because even, and I want to share this too, because when we talk about fatherlessness, it's a little bit more than the physical presence, because we have men who were raised in their homes with their father, but there wasn't a connection there. All they did was a connection. You know, you have to share it, because the thing too, once we get a certain age, you know, I look back on my life, my teenage years was a lot different than my preteen years. My preteen years, my dad was like Superman. But for some reason, as I got older, you know, there was a struggle there. There was a struggle for a couple of years. And it went to like around my mid-20s till I came to the knowledge. And then again, it goes back to communication. Sometimes you have to stop, listen, and understand. Because I tell this to every man, I even tell this to young men, you don't know what your father went through. Even if he was in the home, if he wasn't in the home. He was a guy, sometimes he would go through the same stuff you went through, and he responded differently. But you don't know, but I understand you don't see it as a child, but you as a man, when you get a certain age, you need to understand. The brother was just a man, and you don't know what kind of stuff was coming at him. And some of them did the best they could, and some of them couldn't. But then that's not really your excuse for you to not seek and not be able to do different. I just leave it there. But again, in the body of Christ, this is why we have opportunity. We're called to minister. We're called to mentor and disciple. It's one of the things I learned when I first got ordained about serving widows and orphans. Our churches are full of widows and orphans. I know that's going to sound like a politically correct statement, but if there's no man in the house, that's widows and orphans according to Scripture. But I'll let that go right now, because I got sisters who right now, they're turning around, they're twisting their necks at me. But that's okay. Amen? But as men of God, this is why we need to be mature in that place and understand, because that's how God did to provide for those who did not have male role models. It's simple. It went back to Israel. It's in the New Testament. But I'll let that go for right now. Amen? Well, let me ask you this. We're going to move on. Let's talk a little bit about the book. Now, the book, you got the book. First of all, I was flipping it. You got it. Well, I'm going to just explain the book, because you got it. It's nice. It's a nice book, the book Affirmations. So first of all, tell me, we got Serve Yourself to Greatness, a book of affirmations. So tell us about the book, brother.
Right. So the book is designed for that person that does not know where to start, right? So for that person that's struggling with self-doubt or low self-esteem or low self-worth, right? One of the things that I'm huge about, myself as well as my wife, is the power of affirmations. And for somebody that's not familiar with affirmations, basically what that means is that's speaking life over yourself. So, you know, the Bible says, you know, life and death is in the power of the tongue, right? So every day, you know, whether we're thinking something or whether we're speaking something, it's either life or death. So this book stems from, you know, hey, how can I bring myself from where I am to a mind frame of where I want to be? So affirmations are something that I've practiced over the years. Affirmations are what actually helped to bring my confidence up. Affirmations are what I realize now, later on in my life, is what my mom spoke over me early on in my childhood. When I was dark-skinned, when I was younger, you know, I'm still dark-skinned, but when I was younger, you know, I had the braces, I had the acne, I had the eczema, I had bad clothes, you know, people picked on me all the time. I mean, I just felt like I was just horrible. My mom was always affirming me, you're handsome, you're intelligent, you're smart, you know, you're this, you're that. And those things stuck with me. I didn't believe those things when I was a child. But as I got older and I started to actually read more about affirmations and I started to affirm myself each and every day, my confidence started to grow more and more and more. So this book right here is aimed towards men, because I believe that once men begin to affirm themselves, once men begin to stand up into that place, you know, that they're supposed to be as far as a man goes. First of all, what happens is the household changes. The man is now present again. When the household changes, the community starts to change. And then when the community starts to change, then the world starts to change. So everything starts with the man. So this 30-day affirmational book is designed to, for that person that does not know where to start, you start on day one. I give you a simple affirmation. I believe day one says something along the lines of, success covers me. So you say that to yourself all day long. Success covers me. And then each affirmation comes with a scripture, you know, that I jot down a couple of words, you know, some things that I want you to ponder on. And I ask you two questions, right? So I ask you two questions. You answer those questions, and then you repeat that affirmation to yourself. And it takes about 21 days to break a habit and to start a new one. So I created this book because 30 days goes far beyond 21 days. So if you affirm yourself for 30 days in a row, you start to shift your negative thinking to positive thinking for 30 days in a row, that'll do wonders. It'll do wonders for an individual's mindset. Because what I want to do is subconsciously I want you to start to say, when something negative pops up, hey, I recognize this negative, I'm going to replace that with a positive. So it's not like, you know, I'm saying to myself, hey, oh, my God, I'm broke. It's no, money is on its way. You know, it's not I'm a failure. It's, hey, I'm a work in progress. I'm still a child of God. So it's basically just taking something that has a negative connotation and putting a spin on it and affirming yourself because, you know, that's what we have to do. We have to build ourselves up because the world is already going to do enough, you know, every single day to tear us down. So that's what the book is about. It's an affirmation a day for 30 days, and it's a wonderful journey. I know it's done tremendously. I mean, I can't tell you how beneficial the book has been in my life. So I wanted to share it with other men. I wanted to share it with the world because I believe that if more people actually started to affirm themselves every day, then they'll turn around and they'll start to affirm their loved ones, and then it'll just spread like wildfire. So that's the whole purpose of my book, you know, to spread like wildfire. Let's speak that love, that positivity, you know, that affirmation over each other, over our children, over our jobs, over our situations, whatever the situation may be. Let's put some life into that thing, and then let's see how God moves afterwards.
Amen, sir. Amen. And, you know, I hear your passion, man, for the book, and you're right. It's some of the things we have to sometimes, you know, we have to take life on. We can't let life just happen to us. I think that's one of the things that we really need to see as men, as the body of Christ, and in general, in the culture. You know, we have young people, we have old people. We have folk who just sit back and let life happen to them. You know, they go to work, they go home, they pay the bills, they go to work, they go home, they go to church, they go home, go to Bible study, they go home, and they're not, I say, they're not engaged in life. I mean, we all have obligations, we all have commitments, but we have to engage life to make life what it needs to be, you know? And I think that's one of the things we talk about affirmation. We have to be on purpose. We have to be have a plan. Amen. But I like the book because what the book does, it sets us up for mid course adjustment. Because even though I read the book and I was going through it, and that's the first thing I thought about. This is something that can lead you, guide you. You know, you get off course. We all have goals, we have visions and ambition, but then we, you know, sometimes we go, you know, we get off course. And we forget where we want to go. And I think, and that's one of the things when I looked here at the book I was talking about. I wanted to talk about some of the specific days here. But it gets you back on course, you know, because it makes you think about where you're going. It makes you look at yourself, check yourself, who you are, and then what you want, where you want to go. And it's just, and some of that we forget, you know, so. So let me ask you this, as we continue to talk here at Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm here with Brother Reggie, and we're talking a little bit about his book, Serve Yourself with Greatness, a book of affirmations, and a little bit about his organization, Serve. He's the founder of Serve LLC. Matter of fact, we're going to take a break right here and tell us how folks can get the book and how they can reach you and contact you.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, well, the book is available on my website. I'd love for everybody to take a look at the website. It's www.serve-llc.com. The book is only $10, and actually, Deacon Farr, I actually just came out with my second book. So, Serve Yourself to Greatness was book number one. Actually, I'm going to come out with a series of books. The second one that just came out, I haven't even really had a launch for it yet. Serve Your Children to Greatness, right? So, first of all, you know, my target was men. I want men to get right. Because then, you know, like I said, then the household changes, then the community changes, then the world changes. But I also wanted to bring a bonding experience with parents and children. So I have Serve Your Children to Greatness as well, and they're both available on the website. They're both only $10 each. And my goal is really to get these books into the hands of, you know, ministries, you know, boys groups, girls groups, you know, what have you. So serve-llc.com. The telephone number to serve is 443-845-1766. Once again, the telephone number is 443-845-1766. And Serve, we're available for pretty much anything. We do speaking engagements. We do workshops. We do trainings. We do a lot of empowerment, leadership development type workshops. We do some resume writing, some interviewing. We connect people to community resources. We do a lot of volunteer work in the community, so young folks can actually attach to Serve, and we can identify different ways where they can get back to the community. They can get their volunteer or community service hours that way. For men in the community who want to give back, they can partner with Serve, and we can find ways for them to do that as well. I'm connected to a lot of different organizations and associations, so it's just an amazing thing what God is doing. But my specific role, I've already been told by the Lord, is that I'm going to be a leader of men. Yeah, I'm going to bring men together. I'm going to build men up, and then we're going to turn around. We're going to do the same thing for the next generation. Then they're going to turn around, and they're going to do the same thing for the next generation. And that's just what we're going to do until, you know, we have generations of men who know who they are, who hold themselves accountable, who will serve, first of all, God first, then their family, and then everything else follows in line after that.
Amen, brother. Amen. I encourage you, man. You know, keep moving forward, and God will use and God will bring increase. Let me share. I want to share a little bit about. Let me take my break here. I just want to give a shout out to some pastors, some ministries who support Man Up, and also have supported Issues Christian Men's Talk over the years. We're going on 1 year anniversary is next month. For being independent, but this is our second year. We started off with a network, and then we broke off and became our own little entity here. But I wanted to give some shout-outs to some pastors who supported us first, to my pastor, Bishop Joseph McCargo at the City Hope International Worship Center, Pastor George Sharp at Jesus Lives Ministry and Fellowship, Apostle Etta Banks from New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders in Gwin Oak, Maryland, and Overseer Maurice Cornwell from Uplift Through the Word Ministries in Pasadena, Maryland. Pastor Ian Edwards from Winning Souls Evangelistic Church in Pasadena, Maryland. Pastor John Watts from Kingdom Life Church in Brooklyn. Pastor Joseph Falwell from Covenant Lifehouse Ministries in Hanover, Maryland. And Pastor Rose Perkin Banks from Praise Center for Gospel Church. I'd like to give them acknowledgments and give them their flowers while they're alive. Because they've a lot of them I've learned a lot from, and they have supported the ministries and the outreaches and the men's events we've done in the past. So I continue to thank them and give them honor where honor is due. Amen. Amen.
Oh,
again, brother, we have one call online. I'm gonna bring him on, see if he has any questions or statements he wanted to share. Brother Boone, how are you, sir?
God bless you, Deacon Farr, and Brother Gant. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for calling in.
Amen. So you got any comments or questions?
Yes, I'm pretty much intrigued by this whole conversation of the book called Serve. I think it's a great spiritual thought that came to you, Brother Gant, and hearing about the different the subject matters in the book, the affirmations seems like you have them greatly in order, and I'm definitely going to look on the website as well as call, because I feel that this can work in the area that I'm working in, the outreach. Thank you.
Absolutely. I would love to connect with you.
Amen, amen. That's brother Boone. He's one of my faithful listeners, and he comes in and he's going to be co-hosting with me soon. He don't know it yet, but he's going to be co-hosting real soon. But I'll make sure you have your information. Yeah, we'll be in touch, and then because again, that's the thing. Because that's one of the things we definitely have to do. You know, we talk about networking, koinonia, and in the church, the body of Christ. You know, God is the originator of networking and koinonia. And that fellowship, if we realize that fellowship don't mean we got to eat every time, we might get some business done. But that's just me. Amen.
I totally agree.
Amen. But yes, sir. But it's a kingdom mindset, you know, and that's one of the things that I learned early in my faith walk. And that's why I give acknowledgement to those pastors and ministries, because it's a kingdom. It's kingdom. We can do more together than we can apart. And the world sees a lot of division in the body of Christ. So I'm encouraged by those who are willing to come together for a common goal, because we have a thing we have to do when we talk about mentoring the next generation. You know, we all have children. We're all going to have grandchildren. And with the grace of God, you know, we're going to leave a legacy. And what are we doing to live, to be able to get that legacy ready? Because, again, even today, if we look at what's going on today in 2016, our grandparents never thought this would be America. You know what I mean? Stuff that's going on that's become norm, that's become the norm, that becomes is acceptable. And so, unfortunately, we even got church leaders that are going along with stuff that we know is unbiblical, but somehow in the political wannabe accepted type stuff, they're letting it go, you know, and it's bad. But anyway, we know that our next generation is going to have greater challenges, but the Word of God, character, integrity, and accountability, those principles can transfer through the generations, and we need as men of God to be able to instill that in the next generation, because the enemy is already instilling some of this stuff into the next generation. You know, I say this a lot when I start thinking about it. I can remember, you know, the gay rights thing was in the 70s. It was a small. It was just over there. It was, you know, because I'm from New York originally, so, you know, they had the Village, and, it, I remember. It wasn't a big deal. Nobody cared. But now, look where we are today. So the White House is lit up in a rainbow. Amen. Amen. Mm. But that's my commentary for tonight. And we're going to move on, bro. We're coming back to you now. Amen. Let me tell you. Let's encourage some folk now. This is because we also do Issue Christian. We're going to encourage folk. We're going to find solutions. If a person has a desire to serve, but they don't know how or where to begin, what can you share that will help them? Where can they start? They have a desire to serve. You know, they see the vision. They understand what we're talking about tonight. But now, where do they begin? What can they do? What can each individual person do to start? How can they start? What do you think, sir?
That's a great question. The first thing that I would do is actually I pray to the Lord, right, for wise counsel, for direction. Deacon Farr, I'm a firm believer that God has given each and every one of us gifts, right, talents. We're all placed on this world to fulfill something that God has predestined for us to do. So whatever that thing is that you're skilled at, right, start there. I know myself personally, my professional background is in human resources. So in my journey, you know, up the ladder in HR, I noticed that I developed a talent at looking at resumes, you know, because I've seen tens of thousands of resumes at this point in my career. So I started to help people write resumes on the side, right? That gave me joy. That gave me fulfillment. I found out that was a gift. So everybody has a gift, right? Sit down, figure out what that gift is. Start to cultivate that gift. Start to nurture that gift. You know, the spiritual gifts are all over. You know, maybe your gift is serving other people. You know, maybe it's leadership. You know, maybe it's, you know, pulling people together. Maybe your gift is networking. You know, everybody has something that they're good at, something that makes them happy. So you sit down, you identify that, and then you just look for ways in your particular community, maybe even within your sphere of influence, of starting there. For me, I started with friends and family. I started helping friends and family out on the side. People, they needed resumes. You know, they weren't led at interviews, things of that nature. So, you know, I would do a resume here, a resume there. I was serving. I wasn't really looking for anything in return. But the blessings came when people told me, hey, you know, my phone is ringing off the hook now for interviews. My phone is ringing off the hook now. I'm getting jobs. You know, so I started with what was comfortable to me, with what I felt I was good at. Then I started to nurture that skill and develop that skill, and then you take those skills and, you know, you find other like-minded people and you surround yourself with other people that are doing the same thing, and that's where that iron sharpens iron comes from, right? There's so many different organizations and nonprofits that you can link up with. I'm a part of an organization called Black Professional Men. You know, I'm a black professional male. You know, why wouldn't I want to surround myself with other like-minded individuals who look like me? You know, mentoring is something that I love to do. You know, I have so much to share. I'm so real, you know. Sometimes I'm too real, you know. So mentoring is something that comes second nature to me because there have been men who poured into me in my life over the years. They've given to me. I have to turn around and give what was given to me to somebody else. So there's always a way to give back. But you really have to start first with, you know, praying to God for what is my gift? What is my talent? What makes me happy? What am I good at doing? Identifying that, starting with, you know, your small sphere of influence. Start with your community. Start to develop it. Start to nurture it. And then grow that thing to the point where, you know, hey, now you identify other people who do the same thing, and now you lock arms, and you can do it on a grander scale.
Amen, sir. You know, you're right. I like that because people sometimes, folks, we want to make giant steps instead of taking baby steps. And that what you said there, starting with your family. Again, as a man goes, his family goes. We have nieces, nephews. We have those in our generation. We have those in generations coming behind us in our own bloodline. If we start there, then we were able to, you know, we're able not to let anyone leave anyone behind. And it'll grow from there. Again, we have our circle of influence. We have nephews. We have cousins. We have, you know, our children and all that, and kids in the neighborhood, kids that you know, that you're around. And I think the other second thing, and especially I tell this to young adults, for folk, you know, in your late teens, you know, 19 to 20, you have a gift. There's something you can do, but you have to, sometimes you have to, I'll say this, you know, I won't say that, we have to disconnect from the entertainment self culture. I think that's what it is. Now everything's about self. Because you still can enjoy, you know, whatever, but you can't be thinking about yourself all the time. You have to get to a point where you're willing to sacrifice and do something for somebody else. And I believe the earlier folk get that, it becomes easier. Because if you have to start pulling people out of this self-absorbent, I got to get what I got to get, I'm working for this, I'm going to buy this, I'm going to have stuff, I want to have the material stuff. Jesus said it. It's easier for a man to go through a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to come into the kingdom. Because he chased all that stuff, and then it's hard to get that heart. It's harder to turn that heart around. And I think when we mentor and talk to young people, if we can get them early and teach them what it means to serve, teach them to try to think about somebody else besides themselves. And they went and try to prevent them from getting caught up in this materialistic me, get mentality. Our communities, that's another thing that will start to turn our communities around. Because that's where we get it from. And that's where we get to the point where we're cutting each other's throats, not literally, but figuratively. We're not working together. We want to undercut somebody. We don't mind stepping on top of somebody to get ahead and all that. That mentality, that's where it comes from. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
This is an issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas. So we're here with Brother Reginald Grant, the founder of Serve LLC and the author of the book Serve Yourself to Greatness, a book of affirmations. And like he was saying, it's set up. I didn't get into it, but it's set up. It's a 30-day. It's set up in 30 days of affirmation and motivation, and it's has script. It's scripture based. It makes you think. He's got it set up here where he asks you some questions. He gets you. You can get a life plan, life vision here if you work through this book, and then get you another book and start over another 30 days.
But, absolutely.
Amen. But I encourage folks, you know, go to the book. Go ahead.
I've written over 700 affirmations so far. I mean, so right now I've only just touched on 30 of them. I mean, I have them for days, for months. I just can't wait to get them out. I'm telling you, when people start to speak life over themselves and believe in themselves, man, the power that comes from that, man, it's life-changing. It's exciting.
Amen. Amen. So we encourage you to reach out for the book. But again, give it one more time, your information, your website, your contact information to the audience.
Absolutely. Name of the organization is Serve LLC. Please visit us on the website. It's www.serve-llc.com. The telephone number is 443-845-1766. Once again, 443-845-1766. And, yeah, it's going to be a movement. I have visions to do conferences in the upcoming year, a lot of speaking engagements. I mean, I just pray that God uses me. God uses the organization because there are men out there, men young, men old, who need this information.
Well, amen, sir. You know, brother, I'm here for you. You have an open invitation. Give me a call. We can come back and do it at your conference. But I do want you to come back. We could do another hour because you have 30 days of here. We can talk about some of these affirmations or some of the ones that you didn't publish yet. And we can just... You know, I just want to encourage the audience who's listening and put it out there because, we God has a plan for men. He has a plan for husbands, fathers, and sons. And those when we say that, those are seasons of life that we all what make us common. You know, we're going to be husbands, fathers, and sons. And that just defines who we are. It's just the seasons of our life where God's going to use us. But we have to definitely be in that place where we have a godly character, godly integrity, and accountability, and that's one of the biggest things I believe that we need in this culture for men, for young men, is accountability. Who's in your life? Who holds you accountable? And when we talk, and then I'm willing to define this because when we talk about accountability, it's not some people around are going to see what you do, and then you know they want to justify it, they want to amen it. You need people. Accountability is somebody going to tell you no, and you're going to listen. Because you know that they have the best interest in heart. So when we define accountability, it don't mean you can convince a whole bunch of brothers to go with you and do something. Because, you know, I can convince a couple of brothers to go rob a bank. That don't make it right. But, you know, if there's someone in my life who will, if I have those in my life who are going to stop me, correct me, or even, you know, fine-tune my idea or keep my passion under control, those are the most important people, amen, that we need in our life. And we have to be able to seek those people out. Because, again, sometimes as men, we run away from those kind of people on purpose because we see that. What's the old saying? They see my whole card, and I can't be hanging around them because they can tell when I'm lying. Amen? Amen. Well, Brother Gant, I appreciate you, brother. Thank you. Again, you know, we can reach out to me anytime. We can come back and do this conversation. I definitely want you to come back. I'm looking at now where my calendar is. It'll be, you know, probably 2017 early. No, when we get like snowed in, when the big snowstorm call come, I'll call you and then you can call in because everybody will be snowed in. Amen?
Let's do it. Man, we can talk forever on men issues, Deacon Farr.
Amen. Amen, sir. Again, I appreciate you. Thank you. God bless. And again, this has been Issues Christian Men's Talk. You can go to our Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk. You can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. You can listen to the rebroadcast. You can share it with your friends and family. Also, if you go to the website, you'll see on the left-hand side the follow button. If you click that button, you'll get email and Facebook updates when we have our new shows downloaded or we're live on a live broadcast. and you'll get the notice that we're going live that night or that we just uploaded in the program. So, again, I thank you for joining us tonight.